First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We're all over the place. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's start you off with the headlines that you need to know. All right, this is going to be the first Friday where NBA players are going to be withheld from some cash. They're not going to be making quite as much right now as starting this weekend. The negotiated temporary 25% pay cut goes into action. So $30 million will be withheld from player paychecks on Friday. Should be noted, though, five of the top 10 earners in the NBA this season, LeBron, Steph Curry, John Wall, Blake Griffin, and Paul George, have already been paid in full, so they won't see any pay decrease on Friday. They will, however, see IOUs coming in where they'll essentially have to pay back money that they've already been given. So we'll see how that looks moving forward. Speaking of money, it's going to get ugly for Major League Baseball. Tampa Bay Rays ace Blake Snell has said he will not play this season for a reduced salary, especially because the risk of contracting the coronavirus is, quote, just not worth it. So he's voicing his opposition to the Major League Baseball reported proposal of a 50-50 revenue split with the players for a coronavirus-shortened season in a video posted to social media Wednesday, because that's the move to do right there. You go to social media. As part of that, he said, y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut, not happening, because the risk is through the roof. No, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? He went on also to point out that by the time he takes a pay cut and gets taxed, is it even going to be worth getting on the field to play? This is going to be an ugly debate moving forward as Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball players will have to decide what everyone's comfortable with. In a world where I want athletes to be comfortable getting out on the field and they deserve the same right as everybody else to express their comfort with that, it still becomes a very ugly debate when you have rich people arguing with rich people about who's comfortable playing and all of us seem to just care about getting sports back on the field. So we'll see how that plays moving forward. And lastly, a little UFC moment here for you. Last night, Glover Teixeira knocked out Anthony Smith by a TKO at 1 minute 4 seconds of the 5th round. Teixeira's 40 years old and 6 years after his most recent title shot, has now won 4 straight fights. He said it's not how hard you hit, it's how hard you get hit and keep coming forward in his post-fight interview. So a little great moment there from last night's UFC event. Those are the headlines that you need. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you, who's on your NBA Mount Rushmore? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who should be on your Mount Rushmore for the NBA? 888-SAY-ESPN. Remember, there's only 4 faces on Mount Rushmore. A lot of you guys trying to put 5 in on Twitter. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. It's okay. It's a pandemic. So, you know, I'm just worried about all of us that are tweeting in here that are also helping, you know, educate our children at this point at home. So it's going to be very confusing when we try and figure out Mount Rushmore's moving forward. But 4 names, that's all you get. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your take. But first, let's start with some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As the debate started with Stephen A. and Max reacting, remember ESPN.com did a ranking of the top 100 NBA players, and from that, they came out with their top 4. That essentially became the Mount Rushmore. So the question is, who should be on the Mount Rushmore of players who are not already on it? That's what Stephen A. and Max started with today on First Take.
I think it would be Magic Johnson. The reason why is because I'm not looking at necessarily his stats, although he led the league in assists about 4 or 5 times. He led the league in steals twice, if I remember correctly. He's a 5-time champion. We get all of that. Only averaged about 19.5 a game. Shot 52% from the field for his career, by the way. But here's the thing. Tell me a better show in the history of basketball than Showtime. We can make that argument, but they're in the discussion top 2 as a show all time. You know, Jamal Wilkes was special. Norm Nixon was special. People forget about that. Norm Nixon was special. Jamal Wilkes was special. We know about Michael Cooper. We know about Michael Thompson. Of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kurt Rambis, Byron Scott that came later, were James Worthy, of course. We get all of that. But who was the orchestrator? When you talk about Showtime, just think about this, KP, for a second here. One of the greatest shows coming up in the 80s was watching anybody for the Lakers rebound the basketball. Ooh. The first thing, the minute you saw it in Magic's hands, All of a sudden, you saw a dude sprint to the wings because it was somebody on one wing. It was probably Worthy. It was somebody on the other wing. It was probably Byron Scott. It was Michael Cooper trailing. Mm-hmm. Okay, that kind of stuff. And so what I'm talking about is there's certain things when we talk about team basketball and you look at a guy that is literally the floor general. He's the personification of a floor general. He's an architect. He's an orchestrator. And this dude is pushing a ball up the floor and universally recognized as arguably the greatest passer of the basketball we have ever seen, even though being 6'9 certainly helped him because he was usually looking over defenders. In the end, his ability to push the ball up the floor, to run an offense, to make so many other people better. I can't say enough. Michael Jordan told me Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard he's ever seen in the history of basketball. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has 6 rings. I think 5 of them came with Magic.
5.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had 1 before he got with Magic. This is something special, man. That's why I put Magic up there.
First of all, let me say this. They got the Mount Rushmore right. They got it right. Those are the 4 guys who belong there. Michael Jordan, Kareem, LeBron, and Bill Russell. That's Mount Rushmore. I think actually Wilt Chamberlain probably has the best argument, but because you brought up Magic, I'm going to make the case for Larry Bird. The fact is Larry Bird was better than Magic Johnson, and observers at the time knew it. In fact, Magic, as great as he was, he's the greatest point guard of all time. Larry Bird's not the greatest small forward or power forward of all time, right? That would be LeBron James. So, Bird's been surpassed in a way that Magic has not. Magic outlasted Larry Bird, even when he contracted his illness. Larry Bird's back had already given out. But guys, I value the peak performance, the prime, more than longevity. That's why I have Jordan ahead of LeBron. I think that's what we're really talking about. How good did you get if you sustained it for a reasonable period of time? Magic won more chips. Magic beat him in college, but Magic was also on better teams. Not that Bird wasn't on great teams, but we all acknowledge Magic was on better teams. When Larry Bird showed up in the NBA, the Celtics had 29 wins the year before. They added Larry Bird. They had 61 wins the next year. Let me tell you Larry Bird's MVP finishes until he got hurt. 4th his rookie year. 2nd, 2nd, 2nd. 1st, 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 3rd, 2nd. Then he got hurt. Magic's not like that. And at the time, we all knew it. Bird was a 3-time consecutive MVP winner. And in those 3 years, he won the championship 2 out of 3 times. Magic reached those heights of winning the MVP or coming inside of the MVP after Bird slowed down. So while Magic's overall career is probably better, their peak performance, I'll take Bird over Magic.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. It's where it gets difficult and interesting. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and that was some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. We're asking you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who you've got on your NBA Mount Rushmore. Let's take a look here at Ronald in Florida. Ronald, what's your take?
Okay, dude, this is what I have. I have Kareem with the points, no doubt. I have Bill Russell with all the rings. I have Mike as the GOAT. And I can't go LeBron, dude. I got to go Magic. I'm going Magic Johnson.
Well, I mean, so why Magic over LeBron?
Man, there's just something about the competitor that Magic was. I just can't get it out of LeBron. If LeBron were to go all in, dude, he would be the greatest ever. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm old school. I don't know. I can't put LeBron on.
And that's really interesting to me because what you're saying echoes the sentiment for a lot of people. A lot of people seem to have some moment here where there's a piece missing for LeBron. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that just because what we've seen is LeBron take everybody to the finals that he possibly could. So, you know, I don't know how to qualify it the right way, but to me, LeBron is squarely on it. But then you do have who do you leave off? Al in Pennsylvania. Always love it when Al calls. Al, what do you got? What's your take on the NBA Mount Rushmore?
Hey, Jason. Glad to see you're back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I would like to see something a little bit different, you know, because I've watched basketball since the 1960s, and you know, there have been so many great players. It's really hard to, tough to pick the top four, top five greatest basketball players of all time. What I'd like to see him do is go by eras, because, the game of basketball has, been changing. The evolution of basketball from the 1960s up to the present is so much different today than it was back then. And I'd like to see him maybe have a Mount Rushmore from players played from 1960 to 1979, and then have another Mount Rushmore from 1980 to 1999, and then another Mount Rushmore from 2000 to the present or something. Because, like I said, the game of basketball has changed so much, and the players are changing. I mean, the things that they can get away with today that they couldn't get back, that they couldn't get away with back in the 60s and the 70s. I mean, you can take four or five steps and drive to the basket, and they don't call traveling. You can do that 40, 50 years ago. And it's just so much different that I guarantee I can get the 12 greatest players from 1960 to 1979, and they would be as better than any 12 players you could get from 1980 to 1999 or up to the present.
And I think, Al, your take makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's the most measured. Like, let's just be, I'm feeling very open and real today. I don't know. There's two different sides to this. If you want to have the most measured, calculated, realistic NBA conversation, isn't that the right way to do it? Like, if we want to have something that's more sit down with a group of the best minds and really carve out what would be best and right, that's the way to do it. In today's world, it feels like more often than not, we want to carve out what will create the biggest debate. So putting ghosts against each other is what does that. So suddenly putting different eras of the game against each other creates that moment. I'll go back to my music past. I mean, I think it's so difficult to try and compare bands from different eras because what was asked of so many of those musicians was completely different, right? So you start putting in players from different eras and asking them to compete against each other, you're not wrong. But you end up, if you do it the other way, you end up with a hotter debate. I mean, ESPN's rankings have Michael Jordan at one, it has LeBron at two, Kareem at three, and Bill Russell at four. So you're talking about, somehow, some way, they managed to get sort of different eras in that. But Magic sits at five, right? Will Chamberlain sits at six. Larry Bird at seven. When you start talking about some of these players, you're talking about what makes the NBA so special. We talk about how it's a player-dominated league now. Well, it's been a talent player-dominated league for quite a long time. And how you try and qualify that in some way that makes any sense is what makes the debate so interesting to so many people. It's also what makes it virtually impossible because, again, what you're having is a debate here where nobody can prove anybody right and nobody can prove anybody wrong. First take, your take, taking your take on the NBA Mount Rushmore. Sav in Ohio. Sav, what do you got? What's your take on it?
Good afternoon. I appreciate you taking my call, brother. And, again, we got to say Toledo, Ohio, home of Jim Jackson and William Buford and so on. But listen, man, I'm an Ohio boy, and LeBron, we got to cut it out. First problem that you're having with the whole thing, we have a Mount Rushmore. I don't know who came up with that. I don't know where the notion came from that we need to put four people's heads on a mountain and keep having this debate. There is no debate, man. There's a competitive element that's not getting addressed that we're not seeing from LeBron. This wouldn't keep coming up if he didn't show us instances where the main priority was not winning the ball game. It could be stats sometimes. Sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's Kevin Love. Sometimes it's Draymond. It doesn't matter. You're not the same type of competitor. And that's why old guys can't accept it, because we watched all that we're seeing in this documentary. I got a guy that works on my radio show, my engineer. He's 20 years old. I fight with him every week about LeBron and that he can't imagine it being something great until he saw this documentary. Now my man Russ in Toledo, shouts out Russ, because he gets it now. He's not really ready to give over the whole throne, but he does see now what we're missing. And the guy doesn't give us everything he has. We haven't seen that. Everything he does is manufactured, like Skip Bayless likes to say. He controls narrative. What LeBron did do, he was clever enough to give you stats. He padded stats to the point that you can't argue his stats. That's the misnomer, and that's the confusion. Because when you try to correct him or you try to criticize, you go to the numbers, and that's what people like to do. But it's people that played on the court. The reason why the guys that play on the court won't say it, and I'm one of them too, never went to the NBA, but I played in my day, and I was bad boy with it. Trust and believe. Look me up. Fab and Toledo. They'll tell you. But I know what it's like to be on the court. And it's a hard thing, man. It's a hard thing, Jay. It's about guy coming at you, saying he's better man than you. Alpha males respond differently. Michael Jordan said, you must be out your lily-livered damn mind to imagine that you're about to beat me at something, especially on a basketball court. LeBron James, he want to pose and zap up and get on the boat and holler at Chris Paul and them, even if it's a fight, Jay. What are we going to do if it's a fight? Because I prayed in my whole life, I've been praying that the Lakers would get in another team fight. The last one was against Houston. And if you recall, LeBron, where do we find him? I kept waiting for him to come into the shot while Rondo and them boys was throwing drapes. But what was he doing? Walking down the baseline with his arm around his girl, Christina Paul. That's what you saw. That's the problem. LeBron, even Magic will give you an elbow. Magic split Isaiah's eye open.
But Sav, you're not wrong. I appreciate your take, and you're not wrong about so much of what you're saying. I think what's hard for me, though, is like culturally the way all of these players have play has changed. The level of competition for all of them is so different at this point. It makes it hard to hold LeBron to a standard when the entire NBA feels different. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. We'll keep taking your take on it. There's also a really interesting conversation today as Doc Rivers and Will Packer joined First Take, and they were there to talk about the series Blackballed. Molly asked them about the series and what it means.
What does the series Blackballed mean to you personally?
Well, it means a lot. I mean, obviously, it was something that I had to live and go through, and it was very difficult. You know, Molly, that's a really good question. I think what this means is that we still need to have talk or conversation about racial injustice, about social injustice. And it's a conversation that I still think that we're very uncomfortable with. This is a great look at how we handled it, what we had to go through. And I think it's a story that needs to be told.
And I'll add to that as a filmmaker, you know, for me, I've always been fascinated about that intersection between race and sports. And a lot of people want those two to never meet, right? And one of the great things that you guys do with this platform is you show the fallacy of the fact that you can never separate race and sports. They're always inextricably linked. And so this is a story that a lot of people think they know, but we take a look at what happened behind the scenes and the incredibly impossible position that Doc and his team was put in, because you had this incredibly racist owner who came out and showed his racism in a way that we had never seen before. And now everybody was looking at Doc and the team like, okay, what are you guys going to do? How are you guys going to fix it? So the burden came on them, even though they had done nothing wrong.
Doc, I got to ask you, can you take us back to what that moment was like going into your next game? I believe it was a playoff game against the Golden State Warriors, just the mood, because you heard so many rumblings about guys wanted Donald Sterling gone. They wanted Adam Silver to deal with this. People were talking about the potential of even not playing unless it was a promise made that this was going to be dealt with. Can you give us some insight as to what your team was going through at that particular moment in time, led by Chris Paul, by the way, and what was the mindset of you and your team and your players?
Well, it was very difficult. You know, when you think back, we look at this like it was a two-week ordeal. It was less than 24 hours after Donald Sterling's comment that we had to decide to play in the playoff game. You know, I remember the first meeting, Stephen, that I had to walk into with the players, and we had a discussion. So going into this, there were several things going on. There's so many untold stories to this whole thing. I was told that Donald Sterling had made a comment about 3 or 4 days before it came out. And I was told, don't worry about it. No big deal. It's not a bad comment. Don't worry about it. They didn't say anything about race. They just said he did something. So when I got it, I had an hour before our team meeting. I thought the smartest thing we did, we decided to have one voice. You know, instead of having all the players, I was so concerned about our players becoming the story. And my focus was trying to keep the focus on Donald Sterling. He was the racist. Like, we didn't need to explain ourselves. We wanted Donald Sterling to explain himself. The other big thing, the untold story, was on the day of the game, I get a call that Donald Sterling was actually coming to the game. And so I had to deal with, you know, that. If you ever watch that, the team's out on the floor. I'm still in the locker room. I think I walk out like 5 seconds before the national anthem. I'm literally on the phone with Andy Roser telling him Donald Sterling cannot come to the game. Just think about that. I'm a coach, and I'm telling the owner he cannot come to a game. I thought our players, I thought Chris Paul was phenomenal in his leadership, because I had to be the voice for the team, and then Chris Paul had to speak as well. And I thought Chris CP did a phenomenal job in how he dealt with it as well.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, tune into the conclusion of The Last Dance this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast. They do an awesome job. Jalen and Jacoby, immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to keep taking some of your take as you guys are giving us your Mount Rushmore or your hate of Mount Rushmore. Either way, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take. Plus, number 12 on First Take's primetime players list. Should that player be in the top 10 instead? That's coming up next. But first, as always, we're going to tell you about Straight Talk. It's time for some Straight Talk. Even though most live sports are on hold right now, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. Quit playing games with my heart. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games, you'll lose. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. More of your take coming up. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me.
We're counting down the NBA's best with our First Take primetime players.
That's pretty interesting.
Each day, we'll reveal and debate a player from our top 15 ranking as voted on by our ESPN NBA experts. Who's in? Who's out? Who's number one? You'll know I'll have something to say about all this. First Take NBA primetime players, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. That's right. It's another day, which means we've got another primetime player. We're going through this list every single day. By the way, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll let you guys keep chiming in just a minute on the NBA Mount Rushmore. But it's time. Let's find out who we've got for our number 12 primetime player.
Next up on our First Take NBA primetime player ranking is Russell Westbrook.
Ruthless.
This superstar averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons from 2016 to 2019. Only Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson has more career triple-doubles.
2020 game, first time since Bill Chamberlain.
Player number 12, Rockets guard Russell Westbrook.
All right, so we know that we've now got Russell Westbrook at number 12 on the primetime player list. The question is, how's everybody feel about that? So let's get straight to it. Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins went at it debating Russell Westbrook, not just being at 12, but is he a top 10 player in the NBA?
Here's what I'm thinking about with Russell Westbrook. He is the greatest athlete we've ever seen at the point guard position. I'm thinking about the fact that everything that he does is usually in traffic, because it's very rare that he hasn't had an opportunity over the last few years to play with a bona fide shooter. So he was usually operating in traffic instead of in space. Still, it was unstoppable in terms of him getting to the basket, because you can't neutralize him. His speed, his athleticism, his veracity on both ends of the floor. This is some stuff that's pretty close to unparalleled. That's what he brings to the table. And when I think about that, I think about the fact that you look at the pace of play that Oklahoma City had with him in terms of fast breaks and things of that nature, and what they had without him, how much slower they were. Now, obviously, Chris Paul's running the show with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, so it's a different animal, and I get that, mad respect to them. But Russell Westbrook, there are so many things that he brings to the table that veer far beyond his own individual numbers and what he's able to do for people around him through sheer force of will. I can't look at Russell Westbrook, a league MVP, a guy that's a walking triple-double whenever he wants, and ignore the and just say, hey, there's 10 players in the NBA better than him. A matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say this. If you are a guy, if you are a franchise, Max, and you're looking for a culture setter, and you had to pick a person to start your franchise with to literally set the tone of the culture that you want to build, Russell Westbrook is actually one of the first five players you pick for that role. That's how elite he is. So I have him in the top 10.
Love me some Westbrook.
Oh, preach, Stephen A. Stephen A., take a, just sit back in your seat a little bit real quick and let me get on Max. I heard early in the show, Stephen A., you say you was feeling a little under the weather. But it seemed like to me Max is the one under the weather. Because if you think for one moment that Russell Westbrook is not a top 10 player in this league, Max, I feel sorry for your loss. Let me tell you something about Russell Westbrook. And actually, this year, I changed his name to Russell Westbrook O'Neal. And I'm going to tell you why. After the Houston Rockets made the trade and traded away Clint Capella, they did that for Russell Westbrook. Over a 10-game span, Russell Westbrook had 274 points in the paint. The last person to do something like that over 10 games was Shaquille O'Neal. But listen, when you talk about Russell Westbrook, Max, think about it. His MVP season, he was phenomenal. This year, we could arguably say that Russell Westbrook is having one of his best seasons of his career. He's shooting 47% from the field. He's averaging 27, 8, and 7, playing alongside James Harden. And let me tell you something else about Russell Westbrook. Kobe Bryant blessed Russell Westbrook with the Mamba mentality, something that Stephen A. Smith was just talking about. When you go down the list, when KD playing with Russell Westbrook, four-time scoring champion, Paul George playing with Russell Westbrook, one of the best seasons of his career, James Harden, leading scorer in the NBA, playing with Russell Westbrook because of the pace and because of the tenacity. It was a reason the Houston Rockets traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. It's not because Russell Westbrook and James Harden are great friends. No, it's because of the tenacity.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, and this is going to be Russell Westbrook. I just talked about how it's hard to define players or teams right now. You talk about somebody that I think history is going to look on far more favorably than we do in this moment. It's Russell Westbrook. We just take for granted what he's able to accomplish statistically is something that we don't care about. And I think history will look at it differently throughout the course of it. We're taking your take on your NBA Mount Rushmore. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chewy in Long Beach, start with the sound and then give us your take.
You know what, man? I can go on for days on this take, but number one, no current player should be on Mount Rushmore. Let's just solidify that. Number two, if you want to narrow these people down, get your player of the decade, and then we'll talk. We're throwing out names of current players, and you know what? Like you said earlier, this is the debate that we can go on and on and on. We can't prove it. But you're leaving out, like you said, Kareem, Wilt, Oscar Robertson, you know, the damn Celtic guy we just talked about, Bill Russell. You know, all these records that are ever getting broken, you ever notice Oscar Robertson's name is there every single time? I mean, it was a different league back then. It's Kareem, you ever shot a hook shot? Try it with both hands now. You know what I'm saying? What, didn't Wilt average 50 for a season? What if LeBron was averaging 50 for a season? People be losing their minds and saying he's the greatest person in the world. You know, it's a hard thing to do. The game has changed. That three-point line has made scorers out of people who can't do anything else. It's glorified cornhole, in my opinion. If they're going to have the three-point line, they have to be so proficient. You know what? Go back to the hand check. Go back to where'd that term come from? No blood, no foul. We need that back in the NBA. Then we'll see who the players are. Now, it's like I say, it's cornhole. It's glorified cornhole, dude.
Well, look, I love your take in a lot of ways, but I'll say this. We become so cynical. You just mentioned Oscar Robertson. I was just talking about Russell Westbrook. Think about it. Oscar Robertson was the only player until Russell to average a triple-double for a season. And for Russell, we look at him and we're saying, oh, he averages a triple-double, but, I mean, they're not winning championships, so what's it worth? Like, we become so cynical as a society, I'm not sure we even know how to process what we're seeing today. And then we look back at the legends and we give it all the credit because it was also assigned with winning. So how do we balance a different NBA, less teams and players, frankly, that were not nearly as good across the whole as they are today? That's why this debate is maddening. You're not wrong. I think it is sort of a pull-your-hair-out moment, but you also have to look across the board and say, okay, would we even accept Oscar's feats now because we're in a world where we're amazed for one day and then we're bored with it the next? Ronnie in Virginia, what do you got as your take?
My take is I actually believe Westbrook is a little bit further up than 10. I got him at around 5. I know you can always throw in the old school players, MJ's in there, and Bird and Magic and Russell and all them boys. I get it in their day and age, but they all had help. They all had all-star players on their squads. I believe Russell Westbrook's biggest downfall is he was held back in his earlier years, and he hasn't made it to the dance yet. If he had already won a championship or two, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. The man is a beast. You can put him anywhere on the floor. Now, name one.
You're right about the title, and thanks for your take on it. You're right about the title. I mean, if Russell Westbrook has the title, we absolutely perceive his entire career differently. There's no doubt about that. Much like we talked about how MJ prevented certain players in his era from getting titles, and that changes the way their impact to the game is viewed. Much like we've done the same thing, that's what we're doing to Russell Westbrook. So, you know, Russell is one of those players that I hope late in his career just goes somewhere where he can be a part of something that wins a championship, just because for whatever reason, championships continue to be the one factor that we have to have in the NBA before we'll give anybody their full due. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. Don't want to forget, by the way, to give you a little bit of an USC preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Obviously, we've got UFC coming this weekend, but don't forget last night, Glover Teixeira absolutely had a lights out night, beat Anthony Smith by a TKO at 1:04 of the fifth round. So Teixeira, 40 years old, 6 years after his most recent title shot, has now won 4 straight fights. I love his quote. It's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep coming forward. He said that in the post-game press conference. Don't forget, we get Alistair Overeem versus Walt Harris Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. So you don't want to miss that. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, one Major League Baseball player says he won't take a pay cut to play baseball this season. You'll hear what he said, and I've got some reaction to it. That's coming next. ESPN Radio, First Take, Your Take. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. If you missed the first hour of the show today, I'm Jason Fitz, by the way. Go check it out on demand. First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One and a member FDIC. We're asking you who's on your NBA Mount Rushmore. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Obviously, we'll continue to take your take. You guys are fired up on it. Before we get there, though, I think there's a big issue that Major League Baseball is about to be facing. And look, I have to say this importantly. No matter what your net worth is, no matter how much you make every single year to do what you do, you have a right to decide what you're comfortable with. You have a right to decide if you're okay in a coronavirus world, putting yourself or your family at any risk. I don't want to take anything away from that. However, no matter what your decision is on that, there's going to be a public perception issue, especially when you're talking about teams and athletes that may not be comfortable playing in this pandemic. Blake Snell, Tampa Bay Rays pitcher, chimed in on that. He went to Twitch loudly to talk about the Major League Baseball proposal that suggested a 50-50 revenue split on a shortened season due to the virus. This is what Blake Snell said on his Twitch account.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all gotta understand too, cause y'all gonna be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm gonna play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid cause the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
Okay, so let's break this down a couple of ways. Again, no matter what you're worth, you have the right to decide that you're not comfortable performing in the coronavirus pandemic. And I've said it across the board. I don't care which athlete it is in which sport. If an athlete's not comfortable playing, they have every right to do that. Now, that doesn't change the fact that Major League Baseball now has a massive perception issue. When you have a player that was scheduled to make $7 million this year that goes on in a world where their unemployment is at the highest rate it's been since the Great Depression, where so many of you guys right now are struggling to figure out how you're going to pay your bills and what comes next, in that world, Major League Baseball, the last thing they need, not just the teams but the players, is anyone going out and loudly proclaiming that they're going to get theirs. Anyone going out and loudly proclaiming that there's an issue between their pay cut and then, well, taxes, something we all deal with. When you start factoring these things together, this is the one thing that no sport can afford right now. No sport can afford to have the public perception issue of being able to return, having a path to return, and then having money or what's perceived as greed be the reason that they won't return. If Blake Snell or any player wants to come out and say, you know what, I'm not comfortable coming out and performing because I'm not comfortable being around coronavirus, that's fine. That's their right. But when they start to say, I won't do it because it's less money and I'll only take that risk for every dollar I can possibly get, that's a perception issue that I'm not sure any sport is ready to deal with. And it won't just last right now. That's the sort of perception issue when the entire country and the entire world is being economically affected that will affect generations of fandom towards not just Major League Baseball, but any sport. Whenever you have the argument of millionaires versus billionaires and greed seems to be the factor that's preventing people from getting back to work when not everybody else has the opportunity to make those statements, not everybody else in regular society has the opportunity to stand up and do these things. When you have that public perception issue, even if that's what Blake Snell believes, he's got to understand that how he presents his argument makes a massive difference. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. We'll let you guys keep presenting your argument. Who do you want on the Mount Rushmore of the NBA? Charles in Hollywood, what do you got? What's your take?
Yeah, how you doing, man? I don't even know why people even discuss this about sports when it comes to basketball. And as far as the Mount Rushmore, when you say Mount, that's the top. There will never be a player to accomplish, and what people fail to realize, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. LeBron James is a joke, and the reason why the book will say he won his first championship, not in Cleveland, but Miami, where they put a team together with him and Wade and Chris Bosh. Point and bottom line is the top five will always be, for me, is Wilt Chamberlain. Why? He averaged 50 points a game every game. They changed the game because of the fact he couldn't, and did, I should say, he did everything. They put 3 seconds, the same way with Kareem. They changed the game in college, took dunking out, that performed him the sky hook. There will be no other guard outside of Oscar Robertson to do what he did for 6 years in a triple-double. He did it 6 years straight. Russell Westbrook is nowhere in that conversation. He will never win a championship, him or Harden. You understand me? Because they don't know the game. It's all about their numbers. Number two is,
yeah, but that's
you
a,
can't.
We're up against the clock. I wish I could let you keep going, but I would say that the NBA has changed as a whole. So you're holding Russell Westbrook to a standard when the entire game has changed. And frankly, Wilt, I'm not taking anything away from Wilt, but you can do a quick Google search to find that he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teammates that were Hall of Famers. So your argument that LeBron had to have great players around him, that's the way the NBA has been for a very long time. And the fact is LeBron has taken trash teams to the finals. To dismiss LeBron completely makes no sense to me whatsoever. We'll keep doing this all week, but coming up next, who's the most dominant athlete ever? Will Kane will break it down. Thanks for hanging out.